Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake has switched things around today because he likes to add spice to his life, and so a little something different.
Change it up a little bit.
But it's exciting for the 7 o'clock listener who normally may not get a chance to listen to our next guest. If you got to be at work at 8, maybe you miss Gary Barnett, our college football insider. And you don't want to miss that because it's one of our best segments of the week. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, Stephen. I mean, who could not be well after that group of games that we got to watch last week? You know, I don't recall in a long time sitting down, and we had a bye week, so I could watch it all day long, to see so many really great football games in one day. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was the 11 o'clock window. I was trying to watch both Oklahoma and Texas and Arkansas Ole Miss at the same time. Yes. And that gave me whiplash going back and forth between those two games. And they were both equally unbelievably entertaining. And so let's just start with that game in the Big 12 that was so wild. And it seemed like Texas at one point had it wrapped up. We should know that nothing is for certain in this series. But what type of devastating blow is that to Texas to have that kind of commanding lead and to let it all slip away and lose to your hated rival Oklahoma in just heartbreaking fashion?
Yeah, you know, it just tears your insides out. You know, I mean, I've had games like that, and the pain never goes away. I remember laying on my couch just with a gut ache for 24 hours after something like that. But, you know, the good news is Sarkisian's first year. It's going to be one of those things that gets talked, you know, every year when he starts his team in the spring or in the fall, he's going to refer back to this game. And they'll use it to get better in one or two or maybe more dimensions. So, I mean, and that's what you got to look at. You got to get over the pain, and it is gut-wrenching. But then you got to turn around and make something good out of it. Otherwise, it was a waste of time. And he's got enough experience to be able to do that and figure that out. But for Oklahoma to change quarterbacks and do all that damage with the backup quarterback, it was amazing for Oklahoma. I mean, you got to, as much as it hurts to be a Texas, you got to look at Oklahoma and say, man, what kind of resolve does that team have?
Right. And at the same time, Arkansas was battling Ole Miss. Ole Miss won 52-51, but each team had over 600 yards total offense. They combined for almost 1,300 yards. And they kept mentioning the defensive coordinators, and not in a good way, during that game. And, of course, Barry Odom is one of them. But I mean to tell you, that game, I was worn out after watching that game. What was your takeaway there? Because, you know, Arkansas, after that great start now, they're 1-2 in the conference. And Ole Miss, I mean, they could have gone on. Those two teams could have gone on forever, and not we wouldn't have seen stops. What did you think of that matchup?
Well, you know, I was really surprised at the firepower of Arkansas. I think that impressed me more than anything else because, you know, even though we saw them beat A&M and we saw them win some other big games, I didn't know that they could stand there and go toe-to-toe like that with their offense. And that was impressive. You know, neither defensive performance was impressive at all. And that's coming, you know, and Barry Odom, like you said, you mentioned, they've had a couple of really great games, and the difference maker has been the play of that defense. So that was a little surprising, but I do think that probably Ole Miss is one of the most explosive teams in the country, and that quarterback is probably, he's in the Heisman talk. He probably was a leader at one point in time, but now I think he's still in it. But it's, no defense at all. And then you go watch Penn State and Iowa, and you see great defense up and down the field. So it was, you got to see it all. Saturday.
And Iowa, they're undefeated. They're one of the best teams in the nation. And nothing is for sure. They still have to go to Wisconsin. They have to go to Nebraska. Nebraska has turned into a really tough out. Just ask Michigan. But Iowa, things are set up for them. That could end up being a college football playoff team.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if they got enough offense to do it, but they certainly have a great defense. And that crowd, if you could play them all in Iowa City, you'd be a playoff team, but you can't. But that's, like I think I mentioned several times, that is one of the very hardest places in this country to play a game if you're an opponent for lots of reasons, but they make it hard on you. I don't know. I have to look and see where they play Nebraska, but Nebraska is a hard out right now, and that's a good way to phrase it. They're close. They are really, really close to being a good football team.
Yeah, they're at Nebraska, the final game of the regular season, so that should be wild.
Yep.
Hey, Coach, I'd like to go back to the quarterback situation at Oklahoma. You touched on it. The decision to pull your quarterback, who's, coming into the season, there's a lot of hype and hoopla around him, in your biggest rivalry game of the year, go with a freshman, and then the freshman goes out and leads you on this amazing comeback victory. How do you see, first of all, what were you thinking when you saw the decision happening in real time, and how do you see that playing out now going forward?
Well, first thing I said was good for Lincoln Riley. He's not locked in to one person, and there's nothing, nowhere that says he had to be, but there would be a lot of pressure if you let it. And I think people on the outside think there'd be a lot of pressure for him to keep Spencer Rattler in there, but he felt none of that. He had loyalty. He stayed with the kid as long as he could and has. And all of his remarks afterwards and the way he's treated this deal has been first class, I think. But he had the guts. He had a team to think about, and he had to make a move. Sometimes you just got to do that. It's like when Nick Saban a couple of years ago went, yanked Hurts and went with the other guy. He had to do it. Otherwise, they don't win. So I think they don't win if they don't replace Rattler at that time. So credit goes, I think, to Lincoln to, one, making the decision, and the guts to make the decision, but two, to handle it as well as the peers on the outside to us. He's handling it now.
Gary Barnett is our guest, our college football insider. Okay, Coach, of all the great games and wild results, the biggest shocker for a lot of people was Texas A&M upsetting Alabama 41-38. I'd like to get your thoughts on that game, and then also your reaction to Mizzou getting a win at homecoming over North Texas, because now Mizzou has to host Texas A&M coming off their win against Alabama, 11 a.m. in Columbia.
Well, I saw Texas A&M up close. We played them the second game at Colorado, and I was on the field for some of that game and got a chance to look at them, and they looked the part. They get off the bus, you go, oh, yeah, that's why. to the man. The tight end's a great player, the receivers, they got great speed. They don't play a lot of guys. They pretty much play that same group the whole time. And they having to change their quarterback. He got hurt early in the Colorado game, and now playing their second guy. And he seems to have really come along. But that game, I think you got to hand it to Jimbo Fisher. And I usually can't understand Jimbo because he talks so fast. But what he did in that game and how he prepared that team, he really deserves a lot of credit, as well as, of course, the players. And that was such a primetime game. So many people got to watch that. And, it was just a great showcase for A&M. As you guys know, if you've been there, that's one of the places, the bucket list places you got to go if you're a college football fan. There's none like it in college football. And if you ever get a chance to make that trip, make it, because it's sensational. But, yeah, two good teams battling that. There was just great drama in that game. just the way you'd want a football team to go. And, of course, the big beast at the top of the hill got beat. And then, so everybody was, I think most people were really happy about that.
Oh, yeah. We were watching the fight, and everyone was very happy when Alabama lost. And now, as I mentioned, A&M comes to Columbia to take on Mizzou at 11 a.m. I'll be honest with you, Coach. I'm a little surprised that A&M is not favored by more than 8.5, because that's what the number is right now. Missouri got a win over North Texas, but you can only learn so much from a win over North Texas. What does Mizzou have to do to be competitive and even have a chance of pulling an upset against Texas A&M on Saturday?
Well, they're going to move the ball on A&M. I don't think there's any question that Missouri can move the ball, but their struggle was going to be defense. I mean, you give up 38 points to North Texas State or whatever it was, close to that. And, I mean, that's not a good sign. So I don't know. You know, I know they made one coaching change in there, but their only chance is to play some kind of defense. And you also get a little break in that A&M's got to be coming down from a high from last week. I mean, that's as good as they can play probably. And I don't know if they can play that way 2 weeks in a row. And, you know, it's human nature for them to think they don't have to play that way 2 weeks in a row. And that's, you know, when you throw out the respect factor and you don't respect your opponent, you're not going to play like that. They played like that because they had so much respect for Alabama. And now how are they thinking about Missouri is a big key factor as to whether they'll play like that again. So I think Missouri's got that going for them. But they better play 14 players on defense, or it's going to be a struggle. And I feel good about Missouri's offense. You know, A&M's defense is solid. They had 9 starters returning, so they're a solid group as well. But, you know, if Missouri gets hot, they can score on them. I was surprised the spread was as low as it was, like you guys. But A&M hasn't performed week in and week out to deserve the kind of spread that we probably expected.
Coach, before Nate asked you about the Big 12, one other game I'm very interested in the SEC, number 11 Kentucky, 6-0, at number 1 Georgia, 6-0. We saw Kentucky, and that's again why I was so baffled by the performance from Missouri against Tennessee, because Missouri went toe-to-toe with Kentucky, and damn near won the game at Kentucky, and Kentucky has proved to be a really good team. But they are getting 23 points at Georgia. What do you think of that matchup, Kentucky at Georgia?
I was shocked at that match, at that spread, because what Kentucky's done is they have literally gotten better every week. They haven't been up and down. They've just improved every single game they've played. And to me, that's the team with the biggest arrow pointing up in the SEC is, other than Georgia's already there, is Kentucky. I just think they're playing really good football to beat Florida the way they did. So I think Georgia wins the game, but I think 23 is probably too much. I can't see Georgia putting that many points on Kentucky, but you know, they put points on the last two opponents pretty easily. So, I agree with you, the spread's a little high, but I do think Georgia wins. But I don't like the way Kentucky's playing.
All right, Coach, yeah, let's move on to the Big 12. Kansas State's going to host Iowa State. This is almost always a really good game, and Iowa State's favored by just under a touchdown at 6.5 on the road in Manhattan. What do you think of the game?
Farmageddon?
Yeah.
You love to watch that game. Every year I do, and that's been a costly game for us in the past because, you know, back my last year at Colorado, it was the last Saturday of the year, if Iowa State just goes in and beats Kansas State, things might have been different in my life. But they didn't. And so, as a result, I got to go to Texas and get my butt kicked. But this is a good matchup. And Iowa State's a team that's coming on. They're getting better. Kansas State, I think, has been solid. I mean, all their losses have been solid losses. You know, they're about the same offensively, putting up the same amount of points. Kansas State 28 and Iowa State 34, I think. And points allowed, you know, Iowa State's defense has been better than Kansas State. They're only allowing 15 points a game. I think if Thompson gets hot for Kansas State, that this can be a really good game. I think it's hard to play at Kansas State. So I think all the arrows show that this could be a really 1 to 2 point game. There's just so many similarities. But I sort of like Kansas State really as the winning the game, not just covering.
Wow. All right, we got that down. Wildcats straight up. And then, look, Coach, I don't have too many expectations for Kansas this year. I know that Lance Leipold's got to get his guys in and everything, but I'll look on the schedule and say, hey, is there a game anywhere that maybe they got a chance, you know, pull off a big upset or something? And I would have said, yeah, but maybe Texas Tech at home is one of those games. They're still 16.5-point underdogs in that one. What do you think of KU's chances to try to keep this one close?
Well, you know, the numbers don't point to 16.5. The points do. Kansas is only scoring 17 points a game, and Texas Tech at 35. But all the other numbers, all total offense, passing offense, you know, what yards allowed, make this a closer game than that. And so you never know. And Texas Tech they are Jekyll and Hyde. They can be really good and then turn around and be really bad. So I think the key for Kansas now is to just try to find a way to get a little bit better every single game. And, you know, they got blown out last week, 4 touchdowns in the first quarter. Just, you know, just takes your will away. But, you know, for Kansas, they just need to keep working hard. They'll get a breakthrough here. I don't know. I think this one could be. I wouldn't put Jake's money on it, but that's got to be their mentality. They just got to get a little bit better every week.
Jake said you could absolutely put his money on it if you'd like to. Yep. He'll call you right after the show. We can get that worked out. No problem, Coach. Really interesting game in the Big 12 besides what we've talked about. 11 a.m. kickoff down in Austin. Number 12, Oklahoma State, undefeated at Texas, trying to bounce back from that heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma. Texas is favored by 5.5 over Oklahoma State. Who do you like here?
I like Texas in this game, even though I'm sure they're stunned and picking themselves up off the floor, but they've got to do that. I don't think Oklahoma State's offense is good enough, I think, to beat Texas. And Texas is a 5.5-point spread. They're favored. I agree with that. I think they're about a touchdown difference in this game, and I think they win the game. But it's going to be interesting to see if Texas can get themselves up off the mat after last week's disappointment.
You know, Coach, with Alabama losing, and look, there's a chance that they probably won't lose again. But you know, Georgia's number one, Iowa's number two. We're seeing and look, two unbelievable defenses. Cincinnati is number three. So, you know, I know Georgia is a perennial power, but a little bit of new blood in there with Iowa and Cincinnati. And then Oklahoma, all they do is win one-score games. And so now that things are starting to shake out a little bit, who do you like? Who are the couple teams maybe that you would say that are favorites or teams that you think have a real good chance of ending up hoisting that trophy at the end of the season?
Well, I don't know about hoisting the trophy, but it looks like to me Cincinnati, with their schedule, has sort of, if they can maintain victories by the scores that they have, looks like to me they're going to get in there because they've got the easiest road now. I still think Alabama and Georgia will be in there, and now it's going to be, I don't know whether Iowa can keep this up. You know, I just don't know without much offense. But I think everybody would like to see them get in there. But I don't quite know who that fourth team is yet. I don't think it's Oregon. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Ohio State, although they could still do it. It's just hard to pick that fourth team right now. But I think you still have two teams in Alabama and Georgia who have probably earned it. But like you said, there's a lot of football left out there. And I am interested to see if Iowa can keep this up, because everybody wants to see that, I think.
You know, Oklahoma's schedule really lightens up over the next couple of weeks. They're home against TCU, at Kansas, home against Texas Tech, but then they finish at Baylor, home against Iowa State, and then the showdown at Oklahoma State to end the season. And like I said, five wins by one score out of their six. Can Oklahoma, and now the quarterback situation and everything else, can Oklahoma be one of those teams, or are they dancing with so much danger at some point they're going to pay for it?
Well, I think what it could come down to is it Oklahoma or Alabama? You know, and because Oklahoma can win out, and but they're probably going to win them all like the way they've won them so far by one score, as you said. But you know, I think it would come down to is it Alabama or is it Oklahoma? And you know, that's what that committee would have to make a decision on. It's way too early to start talking that way, but I could see that happening.
Coach, as always, it's good talking college football with you. We appreciate you coming on a little bit early. We are always happy to fit you in anywhere that you can get in on the Border Patrol, because we love talking college football. We will talk to you next week, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same thing. That is Coach Gary Barnett, who joins us usually in the 8 o'clock hour on Wednesdays, but we flip some things around, and hopefully the 7 o'clock listeners enjoy listening to Coach Barnett break down some of those games. Yeah, I don't he sounded surprised that the line was only 8.5 for A&M over Mizzou. But 11 a.m. game, it's in Columbia, and what you hope for is Texas A&M is still celebrating after beating Alabama, and you can catch them.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, look. Maybe the quarterback change at A&M's made all the difference. But before this Alabama game, their offense was not exactly looking great. You know, they put up 10 points against Arkansas.
There's a good chance that the offense will look great on Saturday.
Well, that's a good point.
That would be a surprise if their offense did not look great.
I mean, they scored 10 against Colorado.
Right.
You know, they scored 10 against Arkansas. 22 against Mississippi State.
Yeah. Now do Mizzou and points allowed.
No.
And teams.
You don't want me to do that.
You want me to?
Not going to. I mean, it's your choice.
I don't want to. So, yeah. I mean, you'd love it. I'd love to see Texas A&M's offense struggle. I can't really picture that right now, but that would be a recipe. Because, hey, Coach says Mizzou can move the ball, and Tyler Beatty is... I know you hear me just complain about Mizzou. He's having one of the best seasons of any running back in the nation.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He's fantastic. And so, yes, I believe Mizzou will move the football. They'll score. But can they score enough to overcome the lack of production from their defense? Does that sound familiar at all? I like to watch those kind of teams, apparently. You know. No, I don't. Hey, I'm an offense guy, but I'd like to see a shred of defense from a team that I
just a little bit,
just
a glimpse.
Yeah, just a little. I think I'm going to see some defense because of the matchup. Although Washington does have some weapons, I think that the Chiefs are going to be better defensively, just simply by a better opponent, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, A&M's offense was struggling. But then I'm watching that against Alabama. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to see that, but I'll watch it. But you know, it doesn't feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you think you got a crack at Texas Tech? Come on.
I mean,
let me hear you.
16.5 point underdogs. That's pretty big. You know, each game that comes up like that, I look at like, oh, maybe this would be one, and then.
Let's see what Jake says.
I don't really And I'm not upset about it because
he'll be upset.
He's got to get some guys in there. You can't expect him to
I don't want you to be upset. Would you like to hear from a betting perspective? Okay, Jake. Yeah, 16.5 points is what you get if you take Kansas over Texas Tech. Is that enough for you to consider that or not nearly enough for you?
They're going to have to show me, man. No, it's not enough.
So 16.5, that doesn't even pique your interest?
No.
All right.
I mean, I need 3 touchdowns at least.
What about Kansas? Now, if you're I know you were busy during that segment, but if you listen to Coach Barnett, he liked this one. What about K-State getting 6.5 at home against Iowa State?
I don't know, man.
Coach likes K-State winning the game outright.
Straight up.
Wow.
You damn near get a touchdown.
6.5?
And you get K-State in Manhattan.
Oh, I mean, I
either you trust what Gary Barnett says or you don't.
I do.
It doesn't sound like it.
But what I saw when I watched the KU-Iowa State game, look, it's...
Is it fair to judge a team based on what they've done against Kansas?
Especially Iowa State's on the road in Manhattan. That makes a big difference.
It's like, that's like saying, you know, boy, I saw this offense against the Chiefs defense, and let me tell you, it's a good one. Like,
I mean...
Judging off what Jalen Hurts did against the Chiefs, I think this guy is destined for stardom.
Look out! Your eyes can be deceived by matchups.
Simply on the weight of what Gary Barnett says, right. I would take the 6.5. I wouldn't bet them on the money line to win that game.
But okay.
On the weight of that.
Now let's involve Rudy Salazar.
Salad bar.
Into the conversation. He, and I will give him a massive amount of credit, he told Lebo and I before the season started that Kentucky would win 11 games this year. We mocked him. We made fun of him. Lebo threw rotten fruit at him.
Yeah.
And so now here's Kentucky 6-0. And I'm not mocking Rudy anymore. For that reason.
Right. But he should still be mocked.
But a team that's 6-0, that's number 11 in the nation, they're going to Georgia, which I believe them to have a full NFL defense. But 23 points? And Coach said he does think that Georgia will have trouble putting up a whole bunch of points against Kentucky's defense. And it still boggles my... That's why I still have hope that Mizzou can turn things around. Because they played with Kentucky. It was a game right down to the... They had the ball in their hands with a chance to tie the game. So I know it happened. It feels like it didn't, but I saw it. But Kentucky, like Coach said, has been getting better and better every week. What about Kentucky at 6-0, number 11 in the nation, getting 23 points at Georgia?
I don't know if 23 is too much, but I expect Georgia to kick Kentucky's ass.
Hey, Georgia.
Kicking everybody's
Rudy
ass.
Could be listening. I don't think you need to use that kind of language.
I mean, remember what they did to Arkansas? They beat them 37-0. You know, like in Arkansas, it was looking pretty damn good. I mean, Jake's right. Georgia's kicking everyone's ass.
Look at the points that Arkansas put up against Ole Miss, and Georgia shut that. I mean, Georgia's defense is
shut them
stupid.
Out. Yeah. So, I think...
Here's what they've given up. Let me just go ahead and run this.
I looked at this earlier.
So, they beat Clemson 10-3, UAB 56-7, South Carolina 40-13. That's the high water mark, 13. South Carolina got to the teens on them, 13, right?
Huh.
At Vandy, 62-0. Against Arkansas, 37-0. At Auburn, 34-10.
I think I'm laying those points.
They've given up 33 points all year combined.
In 6 games, and they played 3 ranked teams.
For reference, they've given up 8 fewer points all year than Alabama gave up last weekend.
And they've already played, what, 4 conference games?
And they've played a couple of top 10 ranked teams, right?
4 conference games and then Clemson.
Ha!
And they've given up 33 points.
Yeah. Sorry, Kentucky. I mean, like,
23.
I'll be very impressed if Kentucky keeps it close. Then I'll really be like, wow, Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky's already obviously a good team.
Jake?
But they've taken a couple of good teams behind the woodshed already.
Wow.
What happened? Or next to your tree?
Hey, they take it behind your tree? So 23 is not enough for you to consider Kentucky?
No.
Okay, all right.
No.
And finally, and again, both Coach Barnett and I were surprised that A&M only giving up 8.5 at Mizzou just days after beating Alabama. Mizzou gets 8.5 against A&M. What do you like there, Mr. Gambling Insider?
I'll take A&M minus the points.
Screw you.
Sorry, dude. Nothing personal. Or is it?
What, you got a problem with Mizzou's defense or something?
No, but you do.
Well, a lot of people do, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right.
Eli Drinkwitz does.
I actually kind of like watching
this defense right now. I'm getting text messages from Deion Clissot.
Well, I just look at it like, oh, no. Hey, Deion Clissot wanted this.
I don't know if he wanted
this.
You
calling him out? No. Oh, no.
I think he wanted
this. When he's on the show tomorrow, we'll play that. Play this. Mark this.
I'll mark it.
I'll say it to him. You don't have to clip it.
Nah, I'd like to clip it, and then I want you to say it to him.
You'll be riding trolley car.
Double the effect. That's all. So Jake, very conservative with his picks today, but you do like you are taking the 6.5 with Kansas State.
That's the only underdog I like. That's the only points I'm taking.
Also, tremendous,
I'm laying the points in all the others.
Tremendous pressure from your inner circle to take Kansas State. You have a lot of K-State fans that are very near and dear to you.
I do.
They'll be hell to pay.
One puts food on my table.
Whoa.
Well, I mean.
Tell me about that. What?
She cooks me dinner sometimes, but she also brings home.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Frank Dodd.
No. I love Frank.
Has he ever put dinner on your table?
Yes.
All right, then.
Absolutely.
Then you respect him.
He's the grill master.
Thank you. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.